Thank you very much, Fred. I might also mention that I'm a lay reader in the what you would know as the Church of England, so since you know all about the space business here, I'll preach tonight. That's satisfactory to this group. It's indeed a pleasure for both Mr. Roberts and myself to be in Australia. We have at least been, I know I have, and I think Tech has expressed the same, been trying to get to Australia ever since we got started in the manned spaceflight business, to Mouchet and now to Carnarvon. I would like to say also that I hope you realize how much Lewis Wainwright means to the space business, because his contributions have been many since he has been in this program. He not only is a pusher of Carnarvon, he's a pusher of our space business, and it's a real pleasure for us to have known him for as long as he's been in the business and to know how much contribution he has made. In the United States today, there are many arguments about why we are going to the moon and why we're spending $5 billion out of our budget to go to the moon and on space, what it's going to do for the world. I'm sure that you people here in Carnarvon are very sympathetic, at least to our efforts in space, because it's a part of your life as it is of ours. But I'd like to say a few words about why we think space is important. There are many varied reasons, I think, political, religious, economic, any one you want to name. I think they're all true. Certainly when you look at the benefits that we've already gained from space, they are many. The meteorological satellites, the capability to see the weather, parts of the world that we've never seen before, and make weather forecasts that would otherwise be impossible, in particular in places like Carnarvon, where you get a great deal of weather out of the Indian Ocean. I don't think you'll ever have a hurricane or a cyclone, as you might call it, enter this part of the country again without you having some forewarning as a result of that kind of information. The communications satellites are an example of the effect of space on the world. We're already using your OTC tracking site here to beam the signals and communications to the United States. I was talking to a gentleman here that said that he had just seen his mother on television on the Early Bird satellite after having left England in 18 years, and certainly space has brought that about. Now, there are many other aspects of the benefits of space in medicine, in almost every walk of life, in all of our technology. And that in itself is really, in my opinion, why we in the United States are in the space business, because it does furnish the whole basis of technology upon which all engineering and science is being founded today, whether the scientists who are not a part of the manned spaceflight program like to admit it or not. In the past, it's taken things like World War I and World War II to furnish enough impetus and money in the program of technology to push the frontiers of science back. And it now is the frontier of space that's moving technology back, and I believe the $5 billion, which, by the way, is not really a tremendous part of the gross national product of the United States when you think that its gross national product is $800 billion a year, then $5 billion is certainly not a very large percentage of the production of that country to spend on something that's going to keep the technology of the country going. Now, there are many other reasons. I'm sure if I sat here and read a telegram that said to you that I had just read in Interpol, which I guess I see in your newspapers as the international news agency, that the Russians had just landed a man on the moon, and you also read in the same article that it would be another 20 years before any other nation could do so, I'm sure you Australian people, as well as we in the United States, would look sort of askance at that, and there would be one hell of a lot to pay as to why our politicians had allowed that to happen. Now, that's happened to us once before. As a matter of fact, I remember in the U.S., the day after the first Sputnik went up, there was a cartoon in all of the U.S. papers that showed the scientists coming up out of the ground from a manhole cover and with cobwebs on it and a great footprint in the bottom of his seat of his pants. And the caption at the bottom was, "Where has he been all our life?" And it's very true that it took that kind of situation to wake up the world to what the scientist means. Not only the scientist, the engineer, the school teacher, people like your Max Pickett here who are trying to do the best for the children of Carnarvon, it's important that they be recognized as people who make a real contribution to the community and to the world. And I think that in itself is part of the space business. Now, President Kennedy, when he made a speech in Houston, Texas, back in 1962, and we started talking about the moon, he said that we could choose to do many things. We could choose to make fresh water out of salt. We could do many things, but we choose to go to the moon. And he didn't mean by that we were just going to put a man on the moon for the sake of putting a man in a rocket and having a glorious ride. I think he very fervently knew the effect that would have on the nations of the world and the place that the free world played relative to the communist world. Certainly all of the space feats that we have done, that you have been so much a part of here in Australia, have affected our dealings with other countries in the world. We have been able to deal from a position of strength, I believe, because we have shown that we can accomplish space feats which are equal to or greater than that of the communist world. Now, there are many other reasons, and I could speak about them all night, because I really feel very strongly about the space business being a part of our world that we ought to keep going. I talked to Lewis about maybe some of the things you'd like to hear, and he said he'd like for me to say to you just what the space program is going to do in the future and what the future means to you here in Carnarvon. He said you've seen the tracking station in Ushe close, and you've seen the tracking station to the north close, and you wonder if the one here in Carnarvon is going to close. Well, I'm no crystal ball gazer. I'm not one who can foretell the future, but this much I can see. We in the United States are in this business to stay. I don't think there's any question but what the space business is going to remain a part of the U.S. policy for many, many years to come. That the Apollo program, which is going to land man on the moon, and believe me, we are going to land man on the moon, is going to be a part of the world in the future. The things that we can do with the Apollo spacecraft of looking at the resources of the world, of making observations of our universe from that spacecraft, of looking at the sun and the stars from telescopes that we can carry up with us. All of these things are going to be very important to the future of the world, and Carnarvon is going to play a very important part in that operation. You're in the ideal location as far as we in the U.S. are concerned because of the position we launch our vehicles, being 180 degrees around the other side of the world. From us, it's the most reasonable place, the best place for us to track and position our vehicles, to gather data, and I'm sure that as I look at the things that we have planned for the next 5 years at least, certainly Carnarvon is going to play an important part in that. Now, I would say more than 5 years, but in this business, we often overestimate what we can do in a year and completely underestimate what we can do in 10. And I wouldn't hazard a guess as to what's going to happen 5 years from now. Certainly, it would be my opinion that the station here in Carnarvon would not only remain what it is, but grow in stature and size in the foreseeable future. So we want to say to you how much we appreciate the people in Carnarvon's support of the space program, the dedication of the people at the site, and in particular people like Lewis Wainwright. It's a pleasure for me to be here, and thank you for your attention. thanks very much, Chris. Rotarians and guests, on your behalf, I'll now call on Rotarian Max to move a vote of thanks to our guest speaker.
Presbyterian, Rotarians, Rotarians, guests, great pleasure, of course, for me tonight to be called upon to thank Chris for his very interesting talk. We are, of course, here in Carnarvon, very tracking station or space tracking station conscious. I couldn't help wondering at the same time, when you reflect on Chris's position and the hierarchy, the NASA hierarchy, how many occasions he's been called upon to act as a guest speaker to very distinguished assemblies of people all over the world, I should imagine. And I wonder how many times, if ever before, Chris has spoken across a race club bar to an audience who've knocked off 2 hours of solid beer drinking to listen most attentively to a most interesting talk. Chris, we in Carnarvon are happy to welcome you. We of the Rotary Club of Carnarvon are particularly happy to welcome you, and Tech, and John South, who came with you. We are sorry your journey here has been such a short one. Your stay here has been so brief. We would like to see more of you. But all the best anyway in the future, and thanks very much, Chris. Thank you.